All right. God is good. And all the time. Y'all wave at the choir and the praise team as they're coming back. Or clap for them. Today begins an 8-week sermon series entitled Kingdom Stuff. As you can see on the screen behind me. And what does kingdom stuff mean? We're going to spend the next 8 weeks talking about the kingdom of God. And one of the things about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven that we know to be true as Christians is that it is really hard to nail down a universal definition, right? So I'm going to tell you my opinion, what I feel to be absolutely true when it comes to kingdom. And if it's a little bit different from you, then that's fine. But here's my opinion when it comes to kingdom. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I entered the kingdom of God. And I say this in a culture where the be-all and end-all for so many people for a walk with Christ is get saved, wait, die, go to heaven. How many of you know Jesus never said anything that even comes close to almost on another planet resembling that? He didn't. As a matter of fact, he said something that I'll follow up this quote with. I'm going to show you a quote by one of my preaching heroes, a guy by the name of Bill Johnson. And actually, this is more of a paraphrase of his quote, but this is kind of where I see kingdom. The kingdom of God is when everything in heaven is instituted on earth so that God's government, teaching, worship, glory, and power are manifested here on earth. And the earth looks just like heaven. Now, go ahead and say out loud if you want to, well, that's just not possible. Come on, Brother John. Say amen. I like it because it's true. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, you know this because we say it 2 to 3 times a month. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let's go ahead and say, just to get out of the way, we have a lot of opinions and ideologies and philosophies in life that kind of circle around our faith. Would y'all agree with that? Your kingdom on come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is not a world where every single thing that happens is perfect, where there's prayer in every school, where kids don't disobey their parents, where, yeah. That's not what we're talking about. We live in a fallen world, and it's fallen to our choice. We are human, and we have the distinct privilege of anything else in creation to be able to choose to love God back the way that He loves us. We have that choice. It makes us very distinct and very special. But along with that choice comes, it's a 3-letter word, starts with an S, ends in an N, and has an I in the middle. Anybody want to guess? Sin. And it all started with a couple named Adam and Eve in a garden a long, long, long time ago, and the earth fell. And this perfect relationship that God had created, perfect because we could love Him back, became something altogether different. From our perspective, we changed, He didn't. And so, Jesus comes on the scene, and now, you've heard the illustration, Jesus, he built a bridge from heaven to hell. He built a bridge that at one time we couldn't get across, and now we can, and all we have to do is accept Him as our Lord and Savior, and that's absolutely true. But here's the thing, kingdom begins when you say yes to Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say, because I've experienced them, living in a kingdom world with a kingdom mind, offers us moments of perfection throughout our life. We don't become perfect, but there have been times, folks, where I knew that I was in the manifest presence of God, and it was a perfect moment. I'm going to share one of those perfect moments with you later on. But I want you to keep that in your mind, because we're going to kind of unpack that over the next 2 weeks. Today's sermon is entitled Random Acts of Kingdom. Everybody say Random Acts of Kingdom. You know why I wanted you to say Random Acts of Kingdom? Because you're about to be immersed in a culture of random acts of kingdom. I just threw the fish out. I threw the bait out there, and it's just kind of wobbling. Y'all can't find it to bite on it. You're just going to be waiting. Oh, what is he talking about, random acts of kingdom? Give me about 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, and I'll get there. But that's the title of today's sermon. And I'll start it by saying this. Let's be completely honest with the state of this local church and the state of its denomination and the state of its country and the state of its world, okay? Grace Point at Mount Olive, first of all, is one of the most incredible places that I've ever worshipped. You people are friendly, you're nice, I know that you love God, and I know that you just want to do something for Him that is so obvious. However, Grace Point at Mount Olive belongs to a denomination that is on the verge of some kind of fracture. I don't know if you know that, but it is. I did receive a good phone call this week about the Wesleyan Covenant Association, of which I am a part, that we are now, as Wesleyan Covenant Association, as evangelicals in the denomination, taking the position, we're calling it a traditionalist position. When before, a lot of people wanted to see a big old split and wanted a bunch of us just to go, and I was never for that. Well, I haven't been for that recently. I want to see God rescue and bring revival to the United Methodist Church. So that was good. Nonetheless, we have a general conference coming up in February where human sexuality will be discussed, and there will be yahoos from every side of every fence with picket signs and craziness getting us all over the news, and it's just going to be a mess once again. But maybe we'll get a step closer to where we need to go. So that's one thing that Grace Point, praise God, you know, we're a part of. We also are in a culture that is forgetting God more and more and more and more, where it's becoming more and more offensive to talk about God. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because Jesus said those kinds of things would happen. However, it is discouraging when you are a church in North Jefferson County that wants to reach people for Jesus, right? It's discouraging, because then how do we do it? And then we are a church that is in a partnership. And I think it's a good thing. I know it's a good thing. I think God made it happen. But I have no idea how long the partnership will last. As a matter of fact, the partnership, the original agreement was that Mount Vernon and Grace Point would be in a relationship for 1 year, right? And then we'll reevaluate halfway through that 1 year. Because, you know, our denomination, they like for us to do things that are impossible, like reevaluating a relationship 6 months into it. But, you know what, we'll handle it and God will guide us. The reason I'm saying all of this is, Grace Point at Mount Olive exists as an oasis, as a wonderful place to experience God with a whole lot of stuff out in front of the future that cannot be answered in our current state. But I think it can. One of the reasons we entered into partnership with Mount Vernon was to help with resources financially for a little while, right? Do you know what would fix that? You put butts in these seats and it'll be fixed. I'm serious, y'all. This place will hold 400. I heard a church growth specialist say one time, you reach the number of 1,000 in worship, you never have to worry about money again. Now, we ain't going to put 1,000 people in here. However, if Grace Point at Mount Olive wants to secure her future, she can do it. But it has everything to do with what we do as individuals in our lives together, and how we choose as individuals and as the body of Christ to impact North Jefferson County. And I want that to be our focus for a while, North Jefferson County. So the question is, how do we do it? How do we do it? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to get there, but first we're going to read some scripture. And it's one of my favorite passages of scripture. As a matter of fact, from this passage comes the verse that I probably quote the most. And it's from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, there was Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Then there was Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and I left out Judas's name. It was not on purpose, I promise. And Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely receive and freely give. Freely you have received, so freely give. The word of God for the people of God. One of the things that happens when a preacher reads that and quotes it as much as I do is things start going over in people's minds. Oh, Lord, he's going to tell us to go and heal the sick and find somebody with leprosy. No, although those things are a part of a covenant that is ongoing. Folks, I've seen it. I've seen the demonic leave people. I have seen people healed. All you have to do is find the right village in Africa and spend a day where there's the power of God, and you will see the miraculous. You know why? This wasn't even in my notes. You want to know why? It's because they believe. It's easy for them to believe in the unseen when the unseen has been affecting them for their entire lives. We don't necessarily believe. But that's not necessarily what we're talking about here today. What we're talking about is not the first part of verse 8. What we're talking about is the second part of verse 8, which says, freely you have received, freely give. What have we received freely? We have received the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, whom we accepted for our redemption. And he gave it freely. What does that mean? It means we do not have to earn it. As a matter of fact, we cannot earn it. There is nothing that can be done for us to earn the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It is a matter of accepting who He is, that He is who He says He is, and He can do what He says He can do, and just start believing what He says, which can be found in God's Word. And once we grow, it can be found in our hearts when God starts nudging us to do this thing and that thing and the other thing. That's what it means, y'all. We're going to start freely giving because we have freely received. We'll continue to unpack that in just a little bit. But we're going to do all this by doing two things. And those two things, the first one is this. We're going to start expecting His presence in this place. We're going to change our expectations. I want us to all stop thinking about the other reasons in life we come to church. Not that they're bad. I want the only reason that drives us to come into this house is because we are expecting God to be there. Because what we are called to do in life, when it comes to our worship, is to give Him glory. To respond to His love. To cast out and shut out all those things that would hinder us and bring us down. And just come into this place and worship God. Over the years in so many churches, there have become a whole lot of other purposes and a whole lot of other expectations that we have about a place or a building called a church. So what we need to do, and we can only do this as individuals, we can only change our own personal perceptions, we can only change our own expectations. But if our expectations have anything other to do than with experiencing His presence, then we need to change the way we think about that. We talked about this last week. What's another word for changing the way you think? Repent. I will repent in front of you openly. I will confess that there are times that I have come to the house of God not to experience God, but to experience a style of worship. I will confess to you that there have been times that I have come to the house of God not to experience His presence, but to hear a sermon and learn and not do anything with it. God, that's most of my life. I'll confess those things to you. So before I move forward and continue going a little bit further, I want to ask you, do you want Grace Point to survive or thrive? Whoa, maybe 40% of you want it to thrive. Maybe all the rest of it just bashful, so I'm going to ask it again. Because if you just want it to survive, we're going to change the way you think today. No, we're not. The Holy Spirit is. And that's not a guess. He will. He will. Do you want Grace Point to survive or thrive?
Thrive.
Do you want Grace Point to survive or thrive?
Thrive.
Glory! Matthew 18:20. For wherever two or three are gathered in My name, I am there in their midst. We got to make sure we're gathering in His name when we come into this place. I'm not gathering in the name of Fox News or the Republican Party or CNN and the Democratic Party or this organization or that organization or an opinion about something. No, we gather in the name of Jesus. Because here's the thing. This is what we've been missing for years. We've been trying to learn about God at church when the purpose of gathering together as the church is to experience Him. Would you rather experience God or learn about Him? Because absolutely, you better say that. Because I know, there's philosophy professors in universities that know more about the Bible than you and me do. And whether that's good or bad, it is what it is. I guarantee you that the demons, the critters that hobble around in the unseen, they know a whole lot about God too. they can't experience Him. Folks, you and I can. Freely. So, that's number one. And I'm going to start making pictures. I thought about this over there while we were worshiping. I'm going to start putting this on pictures and putting it up all around the church. The two things that are going to redefine our culture. The two things that are going to take the awesome culture that's already in place and take it to the next level. So I've told you the first one. We're going to expect to experience God every time that we're in here, right? Anybody want to guess what the name of the second one is? It's in the title of the sermon. Y'all forgot the title of the sermon already? Random Acts of Kingdom. Let's see, how am I going to unpack this for you? Because boy, did he throw a curve at me this morning. Let me see. Here's how I'm going to unpack this. Programmatic ministry does not work when it comes to growing the kingdom. What does that mean? Creating programs to attract people to come into the church doesn't work. It did for a series, for a period of time, but it doesn't anymore. And I think that's exactly God's intent. And some of you are going, "Oh, I loved it when everybody came on Wednesday night and there were 728 people and we all ate and we went to different classes." And you know what? I had some life-changing experiences with that too. But those days are over. Programmatic ministry, creating a blueprint of programs for learning, won't grow the church. There's a bunch of reasons, but you know what the number one reason is? Why in the world do I come to church to hear a teacher teach a book when I can go to Google and get absolutely any answer I want on any subject? I mean, it's just a fact of life. I love my little handheld computer that has more computing power than the spaceship that took people to the moon. Just blows my mind. But I don't know how that went off. Probably because I held up my... I'm having some trouble back here. Can you put that random cat... Go back to the Random Acts of Kingdom. There we go. See if you can keep it there. It's anyway. See? It's so good, isn't it? I appreciate the technology that we have. I do. But it is kind of taken away a need for us to come to church to learn about Jesus. Why do I think that's a good thing? Because Jesus wants us to experience Him at church. And this is a concept that differs from our culture in so many ways. But when on earth has the kingdom of God led by Jesus Christ been something that is supposed to coincide with culture? It's not. It's supposed to lead culture. It's supposed to be a city set upon a hill in culture. See, I think God has us right where He wants us. He wants Grace Point at Mount Olive to be a place where people experience God. And He wants the people that are around you, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood or at Publix or at Walmart or at Target or at JCPenney, or I could go on. Yeah, I said that. Or I could, you know, no matter where it is, He wants people to experience Jesus through you and me. The key to growing this church will not be adding programs and making them run smoothly. The key to growing this church is personal evangelism. And I'm not the only person in here. And I'm telling you, I don't know why, other than the fact that I have heard what I'm about to share with you grow a church before, but it was done a little bit differently. I don't know why, but I know that's God's intent for this church. I know that He wants to see tails in every single seat. But I also know that He knows there's only one way to do it. Personal evangelism. Connecting with people in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And here's the thing. That kind of thing does not happen by accident unless God just wants it to happen by accident. 9.5 times out of 10, it happens intentionally. And so several weeks ago, I was on the phone with a ministry coach who lives in Dallas, Texas, and he told me a story about a preacher, and I think just the preacher did this, and he didn't ever present it to the congregation, he presented it to leadership. But one of the ways that they kind of shored up some things in their church, and they made themselves known in the community, and they got out, it's a practical way, is he started doing it on his own, then he got his leadership to do it with him. But he would take 12 pennies every day and put them in his hand, and then put those 12 pennies in his pocket. Now he lives in a really big city, so I can't do it exactly this way. But he would start his day off with those 12 pennies. And before he got to the office, he had to find 12 people and just have an encounter. Nothing fancy. Sometimes it was, weather sure is nice. Yes, it is. Oh, great. You know, nothing crazy. But every time he would come into encounter with someone, he would take one penny and he'd put it in the other pocket. And he would not go to the church office, and he had to be there at 9 until he encountered 12 people. And eventually what ended up happening is people were asking questions about this goofy preacher that just goes up to somebody in the grocery store and says, I notice you're having you look like you're having a bad day. Can I pray for you? But eventually they stopped talking because eventually people were finding that their lives were being changed in relationship with this man and his church through people just showing that they care. So I heard the story and I was like, something kind of like that. Something kind of like that because back in June, I had to fill out some paperwork for Robin Scott, the guy who leads Renewing Churches. He did communion last week. And one of the things I had to fill out was, what is your vision for this church and what is your plan? And it just came out of nowhere and I put it on paper. In September or October, we are going to institute Random Acts of Kingdom. And I sent it in. So I've got all this stuff going in me, and I know that this sermon series is coming up, and I know that today's the day that we're going to unroll it, and today's the day that we're going to unpack it, and we're going to talk about it. And then this morning, I get up at 4 a.m., because that's what I do on Sundays, and I walk out of the house, I get in my truck, and I drive to a local establishment. It's open 24 hours, and it rhymes with Awful Mouse. Waffle House. Anyway. I don't have to worry about offending anyone. I do it maybe 2 Sundays a month. I will drive by Waffle House and get a grilled sausage egg sandwich on Texas toast and a large milk. And I'll get back in my truck and I will start driving down towards Grace Point. So this morning I did that. And I went up and it's 4:35 in the morning. And so this is what I like to do. Is I like to sit and I tell them what I want and I get. And I just start scrolling through something, Facebook, I don't know. And that's what I was doing. And you know the Waffle House servers, they are a special bunch. They say things like hun and shug and love. And she said, what? She said, are you going to or coming from? I said, huh? She said, are you going to or coming from, love? I said, oh, you mean like work? I said, oh, I'm going to work. And I tried, because I'm such a nice person at 4:35 in the morning, I tried to get back in my phone. And then I hear, if you don't mind me ask, what do you do for a living? And I, at this point, I'm like, okay, all this stuff's been unpacked in me. Ellen and I have done something like this with a youth group. I get the suggestion, all these signs, and you just got to do this to me at 4:35 on a Sunday morning. And I'm not going to lie to you, it did run through my mind to say, I manage a putt-putt in Gulf Shores. I'm a bartender. But I said, I'm a pastor at Grace Point at Mount Olive. And she said, I hope you don't mind, but I need your prayers. She said, my husband had his third stroke in the past year last week, and it was a massive stroke. And it all started a year ago when my son, who was 11 at the time, died. It was a son that we prayed for years, literally thought we couldn't get married. And I've got another son who came about 15 months later who were homeschooling. And so what I do is I work 30 hours a weekend at Waffle House. She lives in Etowah County. See, that's another thing he would do. He would put somebody for me to impact for kingdom purposes that has absolutely no plans to ever don the doors of this church. No plans. But that's the kind of thing that God does. That's God's economy. We'll talk about that later. He doesn't think like we do. That's a good thing. But so we have this conversation, and you know, the grill guy's doing his flipping and stuff, and I'm engaged in this conversation now, and I know exactly what's happening, and I know why it's happening, and I'm thinking, yeah, I can write a great sermon, guy, but you always going to show me that you're the one and you're right, because I ain't. So we ended up praying, and had I had something in my pocket, see, if I'd had this cross in my pocket, I'd have been able to take it out of this pocket and put it in that pocket. But here's what we're going to do. There are five bowls up here on the altar. And inside the bowls, I'm calling them pocket crosses. And today at the Gardendale Hobby Lobby and the Homewood Hobby Lobby, there's somebody looking for these that can't find them because there's 1,722. I think I'm serious about it. So what I'm going to do, and there's all different kinds of shapes and sizes, is I'm going to go ahead and take, I'm going to dig for some small ones. I'm going to go ahead and take 12. Let's see. Y'all be patient. You ain't going anywhere anytime soon. 4, 6. I'll get a pink one so my boys can make fun of me. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, so I've got these 12 crosses. Huh? Thank you. Ellen taught me. That's what it is. Although I wasn't homeschooled. We homeschool, and our kids are now smarter than us. And look, y'all, I reached in and I grabbed a pink one. So I had a random act of kingdom today. And so I'm taking that cross from this pocket, and I'm going to put it in this one. Her name was Jackie. I would like for you to remember her in your prayers. But it comes down to something pretty simple. Tell you what. Oh, did the computer go off? I think it did. Maybe we'll get there. But here's what we're going to do. I want you to make up your mind. And I'm not really giving many people a choice, guys, because it is our purpose. It is our purpose to bring Jesus to the world. And we're in a broken, broken world. And there's just as much brokenness in North Jefferson County as there is in the most broken place that you can think of on the earth. So what I want us to do is I want us to enter into covenant together to offer random acts of kingdom to this community. And you can make a choice. I'm going to do 12 people Monday through Thursday that I'm going to intentionally encounter. And I ain't saying before I go to work. Because the guy was talking about living in a city that has like 5 million people. I'm just throughout the course of the day, I'll probably find 4 people in the morning and 4 people mid-morning. And I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it around here. I'll probably go down to Morris. I'll probably do it in Gardendale and Fultondale. And I'm talking about public places that I am going to invade with Jesus Christ. And I might just say, how you doing today? And I might just say, no, that's kind of a cop-out. That's not really engaging. But it might be as simple as just having a conversation with someone where they know that you are engaged with them and that you care about them. And it may lead to 1 out of every 10 people that you encounter in a 2 or 3 week period ending up in the seats here. It also, and way more importantly, may give you the opportunity to pray with someone who's just been through one of the most hellacious years of her life. If ever I have been convinced of a purpose of what God's laid on my heart and the experiences that He's given me and the connection that I have with this church and you have with me, because it's there, I don't doubt anything about what God's telling us to do this morning. Nothing. At 4:35 this morning, I found out. That's when He told me, yeah, that's where you're going, and it's a game changer. It is. It's a game changer. So you can make up your mind. You can get, I don't want anybody to get fewer than 5. And you can do it for a week or every week. You can say, okay, I'm going to get 5 crosses or 6 crosses or 7 crosses or 8 crosses or 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. Don't get more than 12. There's only 1,722. I want you to say, I'm gonna have an encounter with 5 people per week. And I'm going to do it forever. Or do it as long as I feel like God wants me to do it. Or I'm going to do it until this church is full. Or I'm going to do it until I increase the number. Or He wants me to take a Sabbath from it or whatever. But I want you to make up your mind what you're going to do. If you're going to be as crazy as I am, because I know it's going to change my days a little bit. But I'm going to encounter 12 people Monday through Thursday. Each day, Monday through Thursday. I want you to make up your mind. But before, because I want everybody to get out of their seats, I'm going to play a song in a minute. I want you to get out of your seats, come get you some crosses, whether it's 5 or 12 or somewhere in between. And I want you to pray over what God is going to use those crosses to remind you of. These crosses aren't magical. But I want it to become a part of who we are as the body of Christ. Because if you're looking for somebody that has nifty, tricky little tricks and stuff that we can do within the walls of a church to make us grow, I'm not him, and I've never met him. And I don't even think it's possible to meet that person in today's day and time. Unless you're starting something brand new from scratch. So, what do you do with an awesome church that loves Jesus, that's been around for a while, that knows the name of Jesus? How do you grow it? Well, one of the things you do is you change the culture. You start saying, we're going to expect to experience God, and we are going to infest North Jefferson County with random acts of kingdom. There's a song that's going to be playing while y'all come up here and do this, but I want to read the lyrics to you, because the lyrics they just spoke to me this morning. It's one of my favorite songs. But what we are doing, folks, is not something that your preacher wants you to do. It's obedience. It's obedience and following Jesus. Following Jesus means sharing His love with the world. And here's the words: God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as You speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made, every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said, if it all reveals so your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say, every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow down in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. God of salvation, you chase down my heart. Listen to this. You chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created, the light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind, so will I. And I can see your heart in everything you've done, every part designed in a work of all art called love. Now, this is the line that got me. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I'm going to stop it right now, and the song's going to play as we come to receive the covenant symbol of a random act of kingdom for those who are lost and dying right now, that we can change their destiny through Jesus Christ.